Welcome, Impactful Parents. It's time for the Impactful Parenting Podcast, where I give you parenting tips and resources to make you a more impactful parent to your school-aged child. I am your host, Christina Campos. Welcome, Impactful Parents, to the Impactful Parenting Inspire and Learn series, where real parents come on and tell their stories of inspiration and learning. Because a wise man learns from his mistakes, but a wiser man learns from other people's mistakes. And today we're going to be learning from our guest speaker, Amanda Gordman. Amanda has an amazing story to tell us about her journey with becoming a marijuana addict or have an addiction to it, and then overcoming that all as a parent. Thank you so much for being on today, Amanda. I really appreciate you being here.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
So tell us right away about what happened. How did this get started? Just tell us your story.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Well, just to give a little bit of background about me, I am a wife and mother of two little kids. I live in Atlanta, Georgia. And how all of this kind of got started was, it was pretty innocuous at first. I started smoking some weed when I was in college, like many people do. And addiction wasn't an issue for me right away. It was just kind of a recreational fun thing to do at parties and then with friends. And over time, then my use became a little bit more frequent. And what's also different about me than what I noticed from my friends who participated in that activity was that I started using it to self-medicate. So I also have anxiety. And by the time I was a senior in college, I was smoking from morning till night and just kind of slowly went down that path. I continued this until about my mid-20s. And it didn't seem like much of a problem because I was pretty productive. I had a good job. I had met my husband in that time, and life seemed to be overall pretty good. And then my husband and I got married, and before we decided to have kids, I decided, all right, this is a good idea to stop using. And so I specifically got sober, and I didn't think of it in terms of sober. I just thought of it as I'm going to take a break from smoking weed because I don't want THC in my system while I get pregnant. And it was that simple. So I stopped for a couple of years until I was done breastfeeding my daughter. And then I actually started a job, or I had a job in Colorado. And I remember I took a trip out there after I was done breastfeeding my daughter. And I was like, oh, I'll reward myself from all my hard work of abstinence with indulging in smoking some weed. And kind of an amusing story is that in my time that I had spent not smoking, vape pens, so THC vape pens, became all the rage. And I remember my first time I ever saw one of those, I was like, you're kidding me. Like, you can smoke weed out of that? I can barely smell it. I thought it was the best thing since sliced bread. So I started using a little bit at night, kind of as a substitute for my nightly glass of wine. And I really didn't think anything of it. And then I kind of rinse and repeated that cycle, to have my son stop smoking, got pregnant, had my second baby and breastfed for about 11 months. And then at the end of 2019, repeated the exact same thing and got myself a vape pen again and would kind of have my nightly indulgence. Things changed for me during the pandemic. March 2020 came around, we went into lockdown, and my old habits of self-medicating came right back. So by the summer of last year, I was back to my habit of smoking from morning to night. But this time I was a mom. I was a mom of two little kids, and I wasn't able to be emotionally and mentally as present for them as I thought they deserved. You know, they were still well taken care of. I was still physically present for them, but I just didn't care about things as much. And ironically, I used weed to lower my anxiety. And after my tolerance went up and I started using more and more frequently, it actually made my anxiety worse. Made me more irritable, made mood swings more intense, and life just became unmanageable. I wasn't happy in my job, not because of the job itself, but just because I wasn't happy with much of anything. I just wasn't making any positive movements in my life. My podcast, and that was great, but I found myself slacking off on the job for that, and not posting consistently, canceling on guests. Gosh, it was like, what I was doing for free just because I loved it. And so everything in my life really started to suffer. And then things kind of hit a wall in the fall of last year, and my relationship with my husband was suffering. I just wasn't the wife or mother or person that I really wanted to be. And so I remember one weekend I was by myself, because that was another thing I tended to do, was just want alone time, was just kind of escape into a world of my own creating. I was by myself, and it was, anyways, it was a long weekend. And I remember smoking and being like, I don't even want to do this anymore. I'm doing it just because it's a habit. And like, it was almost like compulsive. And I talked to, and also in addition to that, I had developed a pretty bad cough. Now, thankfully, I didn't have COVID, but that was definitely not helping anything. You know what I mean? In the midst of a very serious respiratory disease, being what the global pandemic was suffering from, that just seemed really not smart to me. But I was still smoking. So one night I was on the phone with a friend, and they had known me for a long time and knew that I smoked. And they just said, I'm really worried about you. You've got a really bad cough. I'm worried about your health. I'm worried about your mental state, emotional state. And that just really stuck with me. And I also remember thinking, like, I don't even know why I am continuing to do this. I don't even really want to anymore. So on October 4th, I threw away my entire stash. I smoked for the last time on October 3rd, and that is my recovery date. Now, I stopped smoking, but things got worse before they got better. And what I mean by that is when I was smoking weed, I was numbing myself of all of my feelings. And so any feelings that I didn't want to deal with, any issues I didn't want to handle at the time that I was pushing down, just came bubbling right back up to the surface while I was going through major physical withdrawal symptoms. That's something that not everyone knows about marijuana, is that you can have serious withdrawal symptoms like insomnia, night sweats, anxiety, loss of appetite, irritability and major mood swings, and I was experiencing all of them. And I also was emotionally very dysregulated because, again, I was just dealing with all of these feelings that came bubbling up to the surface, like they were just waiting for me. So after about 6 days of white knuckling it, I broke down. I was crying. I was so upset. I didn't know what to do. And thankfully, I had heard of Marijuana Anonymous. It was like a seed was planted in my brain. Months before, someone had just mentioned that their daughter was thinking about going to those meetings. And I was like, what is that? So it was like a divine intervention moment where I was breaking down here in my office, and my fingers just kind of took over the keyboard and typed in Marijuana Anonymous online Zoom meeting or online meeting. And there was a meeting happening right then, and I joined the Zoom room, and there were squares of women's faces that were total strangers, and they were sharing bits of their story, and I felt like they were reading my diary. Like their story was my story. and everything that they said resonated with me. And I just remember being relieved to have found that space, but also pissed that I hadn't found it earlier. And ever since then, I have been going to Marijuana Anonymous meetings online throughout this pandemic. I have 8.5 months of sobriety. And it has been a very long, difficult journey through recovery and sobriety. But my life now is, it's so much better than it was. I sometimes like cannot believe how bad things were last summer. And really, when I say things are better, I am the wife that I want to be. I am the parent that I want to be. I am experiencing the little joys with my kids that I used to enjoy. And a lot of my healing work has been not just with addiction recovery, that's been a big part of it, but also just gaining emotional regulation tools and coping skills, so that when the toddler stuff happens, I can deal with it a lot better without running away or trying to numb it out, which is what I was doing last year. And I'll wrap up my overall summary of my story with just saying that I am not against the use of weed. I actually look at it just like alcohol, that most people can handle a drink or two. Most people can handle recreational use, and some of us become addicted to it. So there's 9% of people who use marijuana become addicted. So that means 91% have no issue at all. And so I just wanted to be very, very clear that this is not me disparaging, you know, use of weed or anything like that, or use of substances at all. But I have actually, another part of my sobriety story has been stopping drinking as well. Even though I didn't have a problem with drinking, I realized that as an addict, cross addiction is a high probability for me. And in my healing work, I also realized that I just don't need any substances to make me feel better about myself or feel more confident or cool, and that I actually am totally fine with me just as I am.
Well, first of all, congratulations on coming to this place. That's awesome. And you have an amazing story, and it's going to be very relatable to many. It's like, where do I begin after hearing all of that? Like, that's kind of where I'm sitting here as my as a host. I'm going to start off by saying a little bit of context, too. I thought that when I heard your story and invited you on, it's interesting because I'm in Colorado. Mm-hmm. And here where I live, you know, it's a substance of second nature. I know that's not the view across the United States nor across the world. And as I have listeners and from all over, it'll be interesting to hear everybody's opinions in the comments of what they're thinking of not only this story, but some of the things we're about to say today. In Colorado, it's been legalized for many years. And so you can go to a dispensary and get any sort of marijuana, whether it's medical or recreational, in different forms. There's all kinds of very tasteable, edible type of weed. And there's also vapes, and there's the flower, which is the plant itself. And I mean, they are so knowledgeable about weed here in our state that, you know, you have any ailment, I can't sleep, or I want an upper to go like party. You go and ask the people who work in the dispensaries, and they're going to lead you to a direction of strand that's going to get you the results of feeling the way you need. And it's really come down to a science. It's just as acceptable, I'm going to kind of, at least maybe as common, I don't know, acceptable is maybe the right word, but as common as going to a liquor store and having to partake in smoking or in eating, because with marijuana, you can do it, you consume it in different ways. Again, pretty much in Colorado, it is nearly as common as a glass of wine at the end of the day. And it'll be interesting, as I know the whole rest of the United States does not live like that. Right. But I hear your story, and I think, wow, very relatable for other parents, especially in Colorado. where I feel like that happens. And you go to college, back in the University of Colorado at Boulder, it was even kind of known for its weed back in the day. And that's what people did. And so the state has the stigma. It's there, you know, and it's good or bad, whatever you choose, it's undeniably part of our reputation here.
Sure.
I am curious about what the audience thinks about the comparison of alcohol and marijuana, the way you have stated it. I think it's a very interesting point of view. I don't typically give my viewpoints when I'm talking to my audience like this, unless I'm doing a parenting stuff, and this is really your story.
Sure.
But I will say that, again, the culture here in Colorado is different than across the United States. So because it's so accessible, like alcohol, it is kind of not as acceptable, but almost as acceptable as alcohol. I think the only stigma that we have left to kind of eliminate here in Colorado is the still kind of frowned upon, I think, about if you were to do it in front of your children versus you can drink a glass of wine in front of your children. And people probably wouldn't turn, as long as they weren't 8 glasses of wine, people probably wouldn't turn much of a cheek to that.
That's a good point.
So that's the only thing I can think of that I'm trying to give context to across the world as they listen to your story and where I'm also coming from as a host. Yeah. But that comparison is very, very true. I've also heard in here in Colorado, you know, it's like weed has a reputation of mellowing you out and making you calm, chilling you out kind of thing, right? And you don't hear about many abusive people coming out of marijuana, but you hear a whole bunch coming out of alcohol.
Yes.
What do you think about that kind of statement, somebody who compares it that way?
Yeah. I'll say from my own experience, again, I started using it to calm down and be chill and chill my anxiety. But as my use went up and my tolerance went up, it backfired and had the opposite effect. And actually, I found myself being more irritable after I had smoked because I was slower. And when I was around my kids who are, you know, toddlers and they're yelling and running around and doing all of their toddler things, it was really annoying. It was actually more annoying when I was high than when I was sober. And I have read some information about parents or caretakers actually being either physically or emotionally or verbally abusive. And then there's also the idea of neglect. So that's a different idea of it. But I would say that it's probably a higher correlation that if parents are going to negatively impact their children under the influence of weed, it's probably from neglect than, you know, what you would think of as like a abusive alcoholic. But I think, again, both, when you compare both, you can drink a glass of wine responsibly, just have one, you know, and sip it slowly over time. And if there's not that compulsive addiction component behind it, then there's not much of an issue. Same thing, I believe, with marijuana. You make an interesting point about, except maybe not smoking it, you know, in front of your kids. Now, if you're going to abuse the substance itself, then I think that's when you can get into a similar issue where you are not taking care of yourself, or if you are a parent, taking care of your children to the level that you would if you were sober.
I'm going to ask you, how did you realize that you were a marijuana addict? At what point did the light bulb come on?
Yeah. So I really did not think that I was an addict until probably my second or third Marijuana Anonymous meeting. I sought out the support of that online space and that recovery program just out of sheer desperation of like getting sober sucks. And I had, quit weed before, and I knew that it was going to mean some sleepless nights, and I knew that it was going to kind of mess up my appetite for a while. But this time it was more severe. It was really intense. And also, it was, again, just that emotional aspect of I was really looking for support emotionally. And I was seeing a therapist too, but this was just like, I need additional help. So I remember being in a meeting, my second or third meeting, and just again, listening to the stories. And there's in the beginning of most meetings, they read these questions, these 12 questions about, you might be a marijuana addict if, or, most marijuana addicts have these common issues. And I answered yes to almost all of those questions, I think 11 out of 12. And I thought, okay, that's interesting. And then in just hearing everyone else's stories and them, saying, hi, I'm so-and-so, I'm a recovering marijuana addict, it just hit me one day and I decided, okay, I'm going to share, I'm going to speak up. And the words just came out of my mouth and I was like, whoa, I need to sit with that. Like, am I really identifying? So that was my first moment when I realized, okay, I totally identify as an addict. Now, there were times before when I thought, okay, I think I have a problem, and that's really what led me to those rooms. But it was also very relieving when I did admit that and just say, you know what? I identify as a stoner, and that was one of the things I had to grieve, was the loss of that, because I loved the idea of like a juxtaposition of being a buttoned up professional and a mom by day and like a cool laid back stoner at night. And so I found solace in the fact that now I still get to identify as a stoner. I'm just a stoner that doesn't get stoned anymore. So
well, can you tell me, how has this impacted your parenting specifically? What lessons did you learn through that?
Yeah. First was the lesson of understanding one of my biggest character defects in recovery. We go through an inventory of figuring out what our character defects are. And that's a really powerful and difficult thing to do, but it's a great exercise. And one of my big character defects that I realized is my tendency to sit in the well of victimhood, as I call it, kind of have self-pity. And as a parent, I would tell myself a story that went something like this. Well, I'm gonna do this for my kid. I'm gonna wake up in the middle of the night to help them with potty training. And because I'm doing that, I deserve whatever it is, an extra glass of wine, smoking weed, or just kind of having a crappy attitude about it. And I would just constantly, play that victim role or just live in this well of victimhood of like, I was dealt this difficult deck of cards in my early life. And so of course I'm going to have challenges as a parent. And identifying that character defect and the fact that I didn't have to live my life like that was a game changer for me personally. And as a parent, I was able to just kind of look at things a little more lighthearted of like, okay, so my kid just poured my entire can of LaCroix all over the dining room table and the salt shaker and is making an ocean. Next steps are to clean it up. Like, there's nothing more to say about it. It has nothing to do about me as a person. It is not a referendum on me from the universe. And I don't have to sit there and feel bad about myself. But previous mindset of mine was to take it personally in some very weird way, or give myself an excuse to have a behavior that was not really helpful to me or my children. So that was a really big one. And then the other ways that this has impacted me as a parent is just being present. Being present again, like I used to when they were babies, and then things got all swirly and weird in the pandemic, like it did for a lot of people. And I was just reaching for my relief button, my easy button, as much as possible, because things were really hard around me. And so I can give myself self-compassion and empathy and grace for that and forgive myself for that. But now I don't feel the need to do that, even when things are very difficult and hard. And I have gained the coping mechanisms and the emotional regulation skills to be able to do what I need to do to take care of myself and my feelings, sometimes first before I can take care of my kids. And that can look like putting on an extra 30-minute Cocomelon episode while I go in here and do, you know, a quick meditation and write a gratitude list. And yes, my kids got more screen time, but mommy's regulation definitely was the priority in that scenario. And I also stopped judging myself quite so harshly as a mother. And that just opened me up for more love and availability to my kids. I'm still in recovery. I am still learning. And so it has totally impacted me as a parent today, up until today, in these last 8.5 months, positively. And I'm also hopeful that it will continue to impact us in our relationship and our family positively moving forward.
You are full of lessons learned, which I love, because there's going to be so many people out there who can learn from you. And that's exactly what this is. This podcast is all about inspiring and learning from others. My next question to you is about regret. What do you regret?
It's a good question. That's a hard question too, because I don't know if I would say I regret anything from the definition of, if I could go back and change things, would I do that? There are certain little things that just make me go like, you know, really wish that could have gone differently. But at the same time, I truly believe that that's what led me to where I am today. So I guess to answer that question, if I could have one wish about changing my past, it's that I would have gone into recovery and found these rooms earlier in my life, preferably before I even had children, before I even became a mother.
That's a great segue to one of my last questions for you. And that is, if people are listening to your story and they are resonating with what you're saying, and they're on the fence of, maybe that's me too, it sounds really familiar, what do you suggest they do? What's the next action steps for them?
Yeah, I love that question. So there are a lot of 12-step recovery programs out there. There's also recovery programs that aren't 12-step based, but the 12-step recovery program has proven to work. I laugh when I say that, because that's like part of our literature. But I would recommend that someone check out a 12-step recovery program, whether it be Alcoholics Anonymous, AA, Marijuana Anonymous, MA, Narcotics Anonymous, NA. There's kind of an anonymous program for like everything. There's Emotions Anonymous. I did not know that. There's Eating Disorder Anonymous. There's Overeating Anonymous. Because there are addictions out there that are not necessarily for chemical substances. Sex and Love Addiction Anonymous. So I would just say, start with a quick Google search. And one of the benefits of this pandemic is that so many of these recovery support groups have gone online. And so pretty much at any given moment of the day, some meeting is going on. And in these meetings, you don't have to say a thing. You don't even have to turn your camera on. You can just plug into this meeting, be respectful, you know, keep yourself on mute, and just listen to the stories of others' steps towards recovery, freedom, and hope.
And there are going to be listeners out there who just want more of you, Amanda, because of your incredible story. And you are also a podcast host, and your podcast is about postpartum and parental mental health, and it focuses on birth. Can you tell us a little bit about that so we can lead people over to get more of Amanda?
Absolutely. Well, thank you. I appreciate the plug. My show is called Finding Your Village, and it's about birth, postpartum, and parent mental health. The goal of the show is to make the early days of parenting more connected. And I also I shared a longer version of my story in recovery in, I think it's episode 58 of the podcast a couple weeks ago. So if you're interested in hearing more, absolutely go check that out. And I recently have become certified as a childbirth educator. And so that has been one of the great gifts of my recovery as well, is that I was able to pursue my passion and find a career for me that is just totally a perfect fit. So if you or you know someone that is expecting and is interested in some childbirth education classes that are online that you can take from the comfort of your home, please check out my website. It's findingyourvillage.com.
And if you have an inspiring story and want to share your story with the audience so that others can learn from you, please go to the Impactful Parent website, which is theimpactfulparent.com. Go to the Work With Me page, scroll down to the bottom, and you can sign up, because we want to learn from you too. Thank you so much for your story today, Amanda. I just cannot thank you enough for your candid feelings and just the details of what you went through. It's such a brave thing to come out and talk about so that others can be inspired and learn. And until next time, parents, you got this. We're just here to help.
Thank you for listening today. Remember to subscribe and share this podcast with a friend. And don't forget, the Impactful Parenting Podcast is an extension of the Impactful Parent community. So go to the Impactful Parent website and sign up for a 30-day challenge. Browse the free resources, or register for the weekly newsletter so that you don't miss a parenting tip that can help you and your family. Thanks for listening today, and go to theimpactfulparent.com. See you next episode.